Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever. So far. This is the show where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually. And today we are wrapping up our conversation on the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon from 1983. And we're talking about episode 3, called The Hall of Bones, which came out on October 1st of 1983. And MC, let me ask you this right off the bat. Did you make note of who wrote this episode of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon?
No, I did not. But if you give me a second, I can go back and have a look at the opening title.
We're gonna listen to this in real time.
I can't see it. It's not there. There we go. Paul Dini.
Paul Dini? Do you not know who Paul Dini is, MC?
Nah.
No one could see my face, which is a problem I realize for podcasting purposes because I just made so many expressions. MC.
There was about five that ran over your face, yes.
MC, let me ask you a question. Have you heard of a little cartoon called Batman the Animated Series?
Oh, I have.
Yeah, it's Paul Dini. Have you played a little video game called Batman Arkham Asylum? Because this is Paul Dini.
Yeah.
You know a little character named Harley Quinn? Because she was invented by Paul Dini.
Oh, so that's, yeah, I recognize, like, I'm like, don't know who it is, but I, like, in the back of my mind somewhere, there's, like, I know him from somewhere, yeah, but I'm like, I don't know him. No.
He's worked on pretty much every cartoon that DC has put out. He worked on Tiny Toons, he worked on Transformers, Animaniacs, Freakazoid, he wrote for Lost, he wrote for Ultimate Spider-Man, he wrote for Hulk and the Agents of Smash, which I've never watched, but has to be fun. I mean, it's called Hulk and the Agents of Smash, but Smash is an acronym. He also wrote for He-Man and Gem and Star Wars Ewoks, he wrote for the Clerks animated series, and he wrote Batman Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. He didn't write Arkham Knight, but that's okay because the story in that one is kind of crap.
I have probably seen his name a lot.
Yes, you have.
A lot. It just hasn't penetrated my consciousness.
A legend. An absolute legend.
Especially since I watched all of Clerks animated series like mm-hmm.
I don't know how much work he did on that. I don't know if it was just an episode. I didn't dig into that. I was surprised to see that on the list, actually. I would think that I would have heard somewhere along the line Kevin Smith talking about having worked with Paul Dini, but I don't remember.
I mean, he probably has.
Maybe I just don't remember. In any case, this episode, I liked even before I realized it was written by Paul Dini. And then once I realized that it was, I was like, oh, it makes sense that I kind of like this one. So, yeah, this is The Hall of Bones. MC, I've just realized. The Dungeons & Dragons TV account that has the episodes listed on YouTube, is this an official account?
I do not know. I don't think so.
It's got 27,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it has them in other languages.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've got up on my... right now, this kind of moving white blob, black blobs over here. That's actually the TV show going on.
I've just realized that it has a description on the video. So this episode, the description is, while fending off another how do you say his name? Is it Venjar?
Vengers. Yeah, Veng.
While fending off another of Venger's attacks, the children's weapons inexplicably fail. Their only hope of recharging them lies in the Hall of Bones, an ancient tomb for the bravest of warriors. But Vengar learns of their plan to reach the tomb and tries his best to get his prospective prizes into his hands. That, okay, that got a little bit wordy at the end with his prospective prizes. I like that this starts off right in the action. Like,
oh yeah, just
in a battle.
And they're fighting some crazy flying monkey things that are bald. I'm not sure exactly what they are. I could probably go look it up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, come on now.
Where's my phone? Where's my phone? I got D&D and Beyond. God damn it.
I've only got the player's handbook on me. Dang. But they start having issues right away with their weapons not working. MC, you don't need to find that monster manual. It's okay.
My phone's gone. Yeah, because it's on my phone, and I don't know where my phone went.
He's just spinning around in his chair.
I'll find it later.
It's clear that you're like, I only have so many places I put my phone. So you just keep going like, it's not to my left, and it's not to my right, and it's not to my left, and it's not to my right.
What I was doing was, I was like, it's level. So I went from like eye height, left to right. And when I didn't see it at eye height, I went down a bit and then did the same thing. And then I did it at floor level.
He just kept turning left and right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So their weapons are out of juice.
Yep.
We find out at the end of the episode, maybe they say at the beginning too, that these weapons run out of juice every 300 years. Hey, Dungeon Master, you could have recharged the things if you knew they were this close to running out.
He could have been like, hey, or the even better option is like, instead of waiting until they start running out, he's like, hey, you guys might want to make your way to the Hall of Bones because your weapons are going to run out soon.
You're going to have issues fast. Like,
yeah.
Okay, every 300 years. This is episode 3. If we give it maybe a month per episode, then they've been here for 3 months.
Yeah.
3 months.
But I wouldn't even give them that. I'd give them like a week. I reckon that's like less than a month that they've been there.
Being generous, 3 months would be a quarter of a year. That would be a quarter of a year would be 0.025 of 100 years.
Yeah.
Dungeon Master was like, ah, it's so good to see you. MC, would you like this brand new phone? I have a phone for you to have. It does have about 3 minutes of battery life on it, so you enjoy that.
I mean, how would I? What's the equivalent of this? I don't have a new phone, and I need to go out and get a charging cable for it.
Yeah, here's like, a phone. It has 3 minutes of battery life and no power cord. And also, the only power cord is in an ancient tomb on the other side of the world. Good luck.
I mean, it might as well be, like, the local electronics store for me anyway. I hate going out of the house.
I guess, when we make it comparative, yeah, it's like having to go down to the... you know, anywhere. Like, it's like having to go outside.
Oh, no. It's like when you go down to, like, Best Buy or whatever, and they're like, oh, no, you got to go to the other side of town to get this cable.
Oh, we don't have it in this store.
Yeah.
Also...
Didn't we have one of those adventures?
Also, we're not going to tell you where the Best Buy is, because DM's like, you got to go to the Hall of Bones. And they're like, how do we get there? And he's like, don't know! Then he walks behind a rock and disappears.
I don't think he says, I don't know. I think he says, you should get a guide.
Yeah. He's the dungeon master. He could take him if he wanted.
Yeah, I know. But he has to disappear behind a rock in 2 seconds. So how is he supposed to guide them there?
Does he give them any wise words on this one before he disappears?
I don't know. That was earlier. I can't remember. And I'm watching on mute.
A note that says, how come Vengar has one wing sometimes? I think he always has one wing, Troy.
I know he has one horn, but does he have one wing?
It might have just been because I was playing a lot of Final Fantasy VII at the time that I was watching
this. Okay.
One wing was on the mind. For whatever reason, they decide they need to go to town to get a guide. And they're like, we're going to hire one from a pub because that's where you hire guides. But we don't have any money.
Yeah, this is the best bit. They're in the market. And they see a little puppet show going on. Mm-hmm. And Eric's smart idea is like, hey, if they find that funny, I'm going to be hilarious.
Yep.
And he starts telling jokes.
How many trolls does it take to change a light bulb? None.
How many?
They can't reach it because they're not troll enough.
And then he does a barbarian joke, and there's a barbarian standing there, and he decides to put his axe into the log that Eric's standing on and intimidate Eric into shutting up, and everyone throws tomatoes at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's his name?
Presto.
Presto, that's right. I'm like, it's some magic word starting with P.
There's Presto's... not a lot of them.
No. Presto starts pulling stuff out of his hat.
Some money, yeah. They're like, can you just make money with magic?
No, yeah, and instead he pulls out, like, a chicken and other stuff, and people start throwing gold coins at him.
Because they're like, oh, man, that's some good magic. One thing I really like about this is we get, like, a crowd scene, and there's, like, the cool, like, bipedal lizards and wolfmen and stuff. Like,
yeah, I like that we like, see... There's not just, like, PC, like, characters in there. There's also, like, what you would consider Monster Manual. Mm-hmm. Not, like, evil characters, but, like, the neutral, chaotic characters that you'll see in the Monster Manual. A lot of them are just walking around. And, in fact, I think in the next scene... where they actually go to the pub to hire a guide, there's a lot more of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just paused there. So he's got the big sack of... Yeah, there's like... I think they're supposed to be orcs.
Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, we've got some orcs. Because they're too big to be goblins.
Yeah, they're way too big to be goblins.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like these big green creatures with horned helmets and like tusks and like a horn coming out of their chin.
Mm-hmm. We've got like some wolfmen. I think I see a cyclops, some reptilian things. I think there's a zombie.
I saw a troll.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. I like seeing that like there's all these different characters in there.
Yeah.
That's something that we talked about back in the first episode, that this show like... has some of the hallmarks of being a cheap show from the 80s, but then stuff like that, like they didn't have to like bother making that many like unique characters to throw in there, and it's kind of cool that
they like here's the thing, they've duplicated like a few of them, but what they've done is they've put little marks and like distinctions on them that's different from the other ones. So it looks almost identical, but they've put in enough work that it's like they're distinct characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the only one that they really duplicated there were the three lizard men.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah.
So I think they get chased out of the bar. So
Eric's holding up a big bag of money, and they're like, let's just beat them up and take it from them by the looks of it.
Right, yeah. So then the hero character, the ranger Hank, comes in with a bigger bag and uses that to distract everybody, but it turns out it was full of bottle caps. I don't know where they got that many bottle caps that quickly in this fantasy world without steel manufacturing, but sure.
You know what happened?
Hmm.
a little part of the Fallout world just crossed over with the D&D world, and they just fell into there. That's all that happened.
The Fallout apocalypse is just crawling with bottle caps. Literally crawling. They got radioactive, and now they have legs, and they're just crawling around.
Oh, you know what's really bad? Remember the photo of, like, the old trash, like, the plastic bin with all the bottle caps in it? It's gone. We threw it out, like, ages ago. So when the apocalypse comes, I'm going to be poor.
That's such a shame. Such a shame. There's nothing worse than being poor in the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's running into a sneaky spider lady that doesn't look like a spider lady when you meet her.
No.
The kids go running off, and this lady's like, I'll help you.
Yeah, they get chased down. Yeah, they get chased down an alley, and then all of a sudden, in this creepy doorway, this lady just appears with a torch. And she's like, I'll help you. Follow me. Like,
follow
me, trust that...
and I'll keep you safe.
lady, you sound kind of evil right now. You sure about this?
No, yes, it's totally safe. I promise. I'm not a spider at all.
Okay, well, let's go with this not spider lady.
Definitely not a spider. Why would you even say that?
So let's follow this not spider lady. Let's go down in this this hallway. Why does it look like a cave in here?
It's cool. Don't worry about it. It's not. It's not bad at all. I'm not a spider. Don't worry about it.
Huh? That's weird. Why would? Ah! What happened to your face?
I'm actually a spider.
So this is Loth. Loth. The drow goddess.
I don't know that lore. That's new to me.
So,
hey, Vengar's got two wings and one horn in this scene. I just want to update everyone on the status of Vengar's horn and wings.
So yeah, Loth, the spider goddess, is an elven goddess, and she is the one that kind of came in and separated the elves into, like, their separate groups.
Okay.
And she, like, took the drow down into the Underdark, and they worship her, which is why you get driders that where from the waist up they're drow, but from the waist down they're giant spiders.
Gross. I'm not in favor of giant spiders. We found the biggest spider. Oh, man, MC. We found such a big spider in our house the other day. And I know you're from Australia, so I ain't got anything to say in terms of giant spiders, because I know you got me beat. But this sucker was big. He was creepy. We saw him from across the room because he was so freaking big. And I had to smush him with a shoe.
Like, across. Like, the size of your palm?
No, if I saw a spider the size of my palm,
no,
I would just
pass
out.
Legs and all.
Legs and all. No, if I saw a spider the size of my palm, I would pass out. I mean,
you haven't seen a big spider.
That's so big.
Yeah. I've seen bigger.
He was like...
like the size of my whole hand stretched out. Big.
He was like the size of the middle part of my palm.
No, I'm like talking like... like... I've literally had spiders. Like, you've seen how big my hands are. Like, stretched out, I couldn't put my whole hand over the top of one of these spiders.
That's too big. That's far too big for it to be legally allowed to be a thing.
Okay, so we should get back into the show.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the players, or the adventurers, being led down this tunnel, being scared by this weird spider lady's face, who turns out to be a monster, scares them into a hole, a pitfall, that has a spider web at the bottom of it, or halfway down. And then Mango comes back, and he's like, ha-ha, we've trapped you. And I'm going to take all your weapons and those weird flying creatures that they're like flying monkeys. Come and take their weapons, their magical weapons that were given to them by the Dungeon Master.
Yeah, they straight up lose all their stuff here.
Yeah.
Banker's got them. And
I'm pretty sure Vengo's like, ah, Loth, they're all yours now.
Yep, because he's like, I don't care about them. I just wanted their magical weapons.
Yeah.
That's all he was interested in.
And they're trapped in the web. Loth is going to eat them.
How do they get out of the web?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still watching it. I forget. I think they just pull their way out, to be honest.
That's a bad spider web.
Uni's cutting it with a horn.
Oh, okay. So Uni saves the day. I like Uni. Uni's cool. Uni's cool in my book. Ultimately, if I can jump forward a little bit.
They just sort of pull their way out.
Yeah, they manage to escape from the spider. They wander around for a while until, oh no, it's Tiamat. No, wait, it's Vengar. No, wait, it's Tiamat and Vengar, and they're having a villain battle.
Yeah, which is really weird.
It seems to be a common thing in their adventures that Tiamat and Vengar are going off against each other. The good news for them in this case is that Vengar is trying to use their magical weapons to battle Tiamat, but they're low on batteries, so it doesn't work properly.
Yeah, that's really too bad for Vengar. He gets beat by Tiamat.
Mm-hmm.
She chases him off.
Yeah. The adventurers get their weapons back, and after they get their weapons back, a friendly guide shows up to help them out. I'm sure that's totally normal.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't write his name down. Hector. Hector the Halfling shows up.
Yeah, like, just ordinary a half-invisible halfling will just turn up to help the day out. Actually, that should happen more often.
Just in life?
Just in life. Like, imagine if Frodo just showed up and he pulled off the ring and he was just like, hey, I'm here to help. Like, you would be, like, psyched. Like, oh, sweet, man.
I do have to point out something troubling about Hector the Halfling. Dude is pantsless. He's wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
No pants.
No pants. He's
no
hairy.
No pants on this guy. He's real hairy, but no pants.
No pants.
No pants on Hector the Halfling.
No.
If Frodo showed up out of the shadows and told me he was here to help me, you know, with, you know, grocery shopping or whatever, but also he wasn't wearing pants, I might be slightly less psyched about the whole situation.
I mean, would you though?
Slightly less psyched. It would still be cool, like, oh shit, Frodo's here. But also, hey, could you put on some pants? Because I feel like maybe you're just like a weird flasher right now, Frodo. Is that what this is, Frodo? You have to tell me. If you're a flasher, legally you have to tell me. Otherwise, it's flasher entrapment. So Hector leads them on a long journey, and they're all ticked off and annoyed. Oh, this is such a long trip. And then just as they're ready to be like, you don't know what you're doing, there's the Hall of Bones. But
yep.
Spoilers... Hector's actually Vengar, and he only brought them to the Hall of Bones because he wanted them to bring their weapons to the Hall of Bones and juice them up.
Oh, yeah.
I guess
so
he can't do that on his own? Is that because of, like, the magic of the Hall of Bones prevents him from doing that?
That maybe. Would make some sense. Well, I mean, it is, the Hall of Bones is, like, a hero's, like, crypt.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe... If he tried to do it himself, it wouldn't work because he is a villain.
Yeah,
and
that would make sense.
Well, they power up their weapons again.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what happens is that their weapons get powered back up. And then when Vengar's like, haha, it's me, and reveals himself, all the dead heroes come out of their graves and are like, we shall hold him off. Go use the portal in this giant skull.
take shelter in the big skull. I promise it will be fine. But it is. It's totally fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They get away and Venga has to fight a whole bunch of heroes. Dead heroes.
There's a couple things that I think are interesting about this. Because... What's interesting to me about this is that these dead heroes seem to know of Vengar. And do they just know of him from watching over the world as spirits? Or, like, did they battle him, like, you know? I don't know. I just think it's interesting that they seem to be at least somewhat familiar with Vengar. And are invested in holding him off. But it's cool. I mean, it looks cool, and it's like a cool idea that, like, even the, like, ancient dead are on the side of our heroes in this battle.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Let's see. Oh, man. And ultimately, Vengar blows the heck out of the Tomb of Bones. That place is dead now.
Oh, yeah. And all the heroes float up into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But they're dead already, so oh, and then there's a weird creepy scene with the dungeon master who's spying on everyone.
Yeah, there's always a weird creepy scene with the dungeon master at the end. But this puts a timeline. This show can now only go on for another 300 years because at that point their weapons will no longer be charged and there's no longer a Hall of Bones to recharge them in. So unfortunately, this show will not continue for infinity. It will end within the next 300 years.
Troy, yes. Do you think that was the only place that those weapons could get charged up? Or do you
that
think
was absolutely that other... my impression.
Do you think there's not another mystical like convergence somewhere that they could go and charge up there? Like some sort of waterfall or... pool or maybe another crypt somewhere deep in a forest.
No, there. That's the only place.
Yep. Fair enough. If that was the only place, they're screwed in 300 years. Yep. If they're still evil.
Yeah, I liked this episode. We've been kind of making fun of it, but that's mostly I'm very tired. But it's a good episode. It's fun.
No, well, here's the thing. This is the most action that we've had in this show so far.
This episode? Like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
There's like several different scenes of action.
Yep.
And there's not much to talk about other than like the what happens in those scenes is the heroes win most of the time, except for the one time where they fall into a pit and are about to get eaten by a giant spider lady.
And to be fair, they lose hard in that scene.
Yeah.
They lose real bad.
Yeah. The rest of the time, they're kind of winning.
Yeah, they're still competent. I like that.
They even tricked Vengar into taking them to the Hall of Bones.
Yeah, see... And that's the one place if I was going to say, hey, Paul Dini, can we talk about this script you wrote for Dungeons & Dragons in 1983? I'd say, hey, why wouldn't Vengar have just taken the weapons to the Hall of Bones on his own? And I bet Paul Dini would have a very good explanation for it about, you know, that was a heroic place. And it's not like it's an automatic thing. You take the weapons in, they get charged. It's that the spirits are charging them for you. And so the spirits wouldn't have done them for Vengar. Like... I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation. Yeah. But that was the only thing where I was like, eh.
I'm sure there's some logic behind it. Some D&D logic.
Mm-hmm. D&D. Because Paul Dini wrote this episode.
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, MC. We now need to undertake the task of ranking this and picking another show. But first, I was a little concerned. I was a little worried earlier that you missed the line where he said that that it was none trolls to change a light bulb because they're not troll enough. because they can't reach it because they're not troll enough. Because it sounds like tall, kind of, but it's because they're trolls.
It's just bad. It's bad. It's real bad.
Our list right now is number one, My Hero Academia. Number two, Dragon Ball. Number three, Miraculous. Number four, SpongeBob. Number five, Biker Mice from Mars. And at the bottom of the list, The Legend of Zelda. This definitely goes above Zelda.
Yeah. I reckon it's above SpongeBob as well.
Okay. So that would put it above Biker Mice, above SpongeBob, but below Miraculous. Below Dragon Ball, below My Hero Academia.
Definitely below Dragon Ball, but
yeah,
I'm not sure about Miraculous. Like, I reckon Miraculous just beats out D&D just because of, like, the art style and, like, when they were made and just how much progression has been made in animation and cartoons that it's a good leap forward. Like technology and all that sort of thing. So yeah, I reckon it's below that.
I think that's fair. And I think there's a lot of similarities between the two in that they're both kind of like week to week adventures. Excuse me. They're both kind of week to week adventures that don't really have, there is an ongoing narrative, but it's more about the episodic storytelling, and they're definitely kid oriented. They're kind of funny as well as being action shows. But yeah, I think I'd put this one just below Miraculous. That feels fair to me. All right. So that puts it into the number four spot. It is the fourth best animated show ever so far. Which means next we need to pick what we're going to cover shows next to cover. Week.
Yes.
And we've still got the list up.
Let's see.
This was a Tyler episode, so we can't pick another one that he's submitted.
Yeah, I don't have the file with all that in it.
Oh, let me shoot it over.
Where did I put it?
I just sent it in Discord.
Yeah. Oh. There's my phone.
Hey, it's your phone.
I found it while we were on that short break.
That makes sense. I think I'm going to put onto the list. I'm going to put Pokemon. I want to watch some anime. I'm going to put Pokemon on the list.
Ooh,
and that was, I should say, hang on. I'm going to put Pokemon on the list, which was submitted by Thomas. Thank you, Thomas.
See, this is really hard because I think about half of these, no, more than half, submitted by...
by Tyler. Or Thomas.
By Tyler, yeah. Or Thomas. That's really funny.
Our two big submitters right now.
But I'm actually going to go with something that I used to watch quite often as a young teenager, which is Ed, Edd and Eddy.
Heck yeah. Submitted by Arjuna. How about for your pick? Not looking at the list. Do you have any personal picks?
Yeah, I'm going to go super anime in this one, and I'm going to say Hunter x Hunter.
Okay, you keep putting that on there. I saw it pop up somewhere the other day. I think maybe it's on Netflix. I saw it pop up and I was like, that looks real good.
It is. But the main reason I want to get it out early is because when we come back and revisit episodes, to see if we can bump up some shows in the ranks or whatever. This one's going to be one that will get bumped up because the first three episodes aren't that great. They're good, but they're not, like, when you start getting, like, halfway through Hunter x Hunter, it just becomes great.
All right. I'm going to put Castlevania on the list, the Netflix anime series, which I have not watched. Yeah. I have not watched a single minute of, but... So, we've got Pokemon, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Hunter x Hunter, and Castlevania. So, we have a 3-in-4 chance of watching some anime next week.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe Ed, Edd n Eddy. You got Urban a dice?
I'm looking for one. Yes, I found it. Come here. The one bad thing about keeping dice in a jar.
You have to fish them out of a jar?
Yeah. 4.
Castlevania! Ah, I'm excited to watch Castlevania. I've heard good things about it, but I have literally not seen... I know nothing about it. And I'm not a huge Castlevania game player either.
I'm not big into the games, but I really like the anime.
I think every time I've actually played a Castlevania game, I've liked it, but I've never, like, they're not ones that I've played much of so far. All right, well, then, oh man, there's only 4 episodes in the first season.
Yeah, they're longer episodes.
Well, we will be back next week with the first episode of the first season of Castlevania, an American adult animated web television series, is how it's formally listed. Is this the right listing? Yes, it is. So we'll be back with episode 1, which is called Witch Bottle. They're not troll enough, MC.
So stupid. Why did he have to make that joke?
They're not troll enough. He's gonna go to night school.
That one was half decent, at least.
No, it wasn't.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
We forgot to mention, so we're mentioning it here at the end of the episode. We're joining a podcast network, MC.
Oh yeah, that's right. We are.
We were supposed to talk about this.
Yeah.
I forgot too. So I've been working with the We Can Make This Work Probably podcast network for a couple months now, with my other project, projects, the Power Playthroughs podcast and then the Podcasters Assemble Probably, which was a Marvel hype rewatch podcast. Tyler from the network talked it over with me, and we're going to have the best animated shows ever so far be a part of the We Can Make This Work Probably podcast network. What this means for you listening is that you'll just hear a thing at the end talking about We Can Make This Work Probably podcast network, and you might hear other people from those shows more frequently come and hang out. But what it means for us is hopefully that we'll find some new listeners from the other shows on the network. So
that'd be good.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I got. Yeah. It's not really that like big of a change for us.
No, it's not going to be a huge change for us. Well, we might get a few extra listeners, but That's just going to change for you. I don't really see all the numbers and everything.
Yeah. I stare at them obsessively.
I don't. I could care less how many people are listening. I just care that someone is.
Yeah. And it's just fun to sit and chat about this stuff. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's the other reason really why we started up this podcast was we weren't getting enough time to just like sit down and chat like with our lives and stuff on the other side of the planet. So it was a chance for us not just to sit down and talk about cartoons. It beforehand and in between episodes, we tend to ramble
sometimes
on.
In the middle.
yeah, sometimes in the middle of an episode, we will just go off on tangents and talk about something else. The main reason that happened with the Legends of Zelda was that show was god awful.
It was so bad. All right, so listen in now and you'll hear the bumper from We Can Make This Work probably, because they're a bunch of cool people, and I think most of our listeners actually already listen to their shows, but hey, if you don't, here's a whole family of new podcasts for you to go listen to. Check out probablywork.com and you'll find all sorts of information about their shows.
Please go listen to them. I am planning on listening to more podcasts because I spend a lot of time at work just doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's good podcasting time.
Yeah. I work in a factory where I pull something out of a machine and then I put paint on it. And that's my whole job. So I don't really talk to a lot of people during work. So I can just put audiobooks and podcasts on, but mm-hmm. I'm getting to the end of my audiobooks, so I'm gonna need a whole bunch of new podcasts, so this will be good for me as well.
Might I recommend the Dead Podcast Society and Too Young for This Hit and Thoughts Cast and Turtle Power Presents Power Playthroughs Podcast and Podcasters
already listened to that
Assemble
one.
And oh gosh, Sleepy Time Thoughts and Bill's show. Oh gosh, Bill, I'm so sorry. I can't think of what the name of your audio only Let's Play podcast is called. It's called the Audio Only Experience. Of course, it's called the Audio Only Experience. XP, the Audio Only XP. And YDWMY Reviews. And I think that's all of them. And now, the best animated shows ever so far is also part of that family of podcasts.
Yay!
Hooray! All right, thanks everybody. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
@ Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Do you like video games? Ever thought about making a video game? Do you find that a week or 2 weeks is kind of short for a game jam? Well, have I got the game jam for you with the We Can Make This Work Probably Game Jam. We have 9 themes. You can choose one for your game. Each theme is taken from one of our 9 podcasts. The jam runs from April 20th to June 9th to provide a nice amount of time for you to make something cool. Check out the link in the description for more information and to figure out how to join and submit. Have fun!
Doop 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 doop. Doop 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 doop.